on my song list pretty much every time that she played, and it wasn't because we sang it all the time, it's just because it happened to come up as she was there for us. So thank you, Pastor Marlene, for helping us along with that as that happened. Well, as we continue on with the letter of 1 John, I'm still using this overall theme of the results of God's love. And we've spent a few weeks looking at changes in our lives that help us to be more and more conformed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are changes that create new life in us because of the love of God that's poured out to us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And changes in us to pay the debt of sin we cannot pay, so we can become truly the children of God. And of course, that means I want to remind us of a favorite key verse in 1 John 3, 1 and 2, which I really like in the New International Version, which says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." So dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, that reality that we are children of God because of the love of God should drive us to want to be more like the Son of God. And that's our goal in the Christian life. So we talked about our needs met in Jesus Christ. We talked about what it means to know God, what it means to be loving like God's children, believing like God's children, behaving like God's children, and living like God's children. Now today we'll look at the prayers that God answers. And next week, the expression of God in three persons, which we call the Trinity. But today, let's think about some basic things about prayer. Prayer, of course, is vitally important to us. And it's vital to the life of a faithful person, important to a person who's in trouble. It's our means of confession and forgiveness. Prayer puts us in touch with the Holy God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means when we pray, things happen. But it turns out not everyone really likes what might happen when we pray. Like the house where someone named Martha goes shopping at Hobby Lobby and brings home a plaque that says, "Prayer changes things." She proudly puts it on the wall by the dining room table. Well, Martha got up the next morning and the plaque was turned over so it faced the wall. Martha asked her husband, "Mitch, what happened to the plaque? Did you turn it over?" Mitch answered, "Yes, I turned it over." Martha asked, "But don't you believe in prayer?" And Mitch said, "Well, sure I do, and that's the problem. Prayer changes things, and I don't like change." Well, one of the results of God's love is that love, his love, makes it possible for us to connect with him through prayer. And that's amazing when you think about it. We can connect to the Creator God through prayer. Why? Because God wants us to connect with him. That's one really amazing thing about prayer. God wants us to be in conversation with him in prayer. Now, I want you to think about God as you think about prayer, because we tend to think first about us as we think about prayer. What do I want? What do I need? First, think about this. Every answer to prayer is something God could have done without us saying a word in thought or in deed, by mouth in prayer. And that's because it is God who is at work. That's because always it's God who does the work. We pray because what we pray for is something we cannot do ourselves. We need God. So here, then, is the second really amazing thing about prayer. When we pray, God allows us To be a partner with him in his creation. When we pray, God allows us or invites us even to be a partner with him in his creation. Now, that is another amazing thing. When God answers our prayers, he's responding to our prayers with his love. And yes, God answers our prayers. But there's something else we have to think about if we think about God before we think about the power of prayer. God doesn't have to do what we ask. God will not go against his own nature because of our prayers. Our God is a God of miracles, but when God does miracles, he's essentially breaking his own normal physical laws. Our God is God Almighty, and he's the creator king of the universe. Our God, God Almighty, is not under our control because we pray. God is God. And since God is God, he wants us to pray, but he is the one that we are dependent upon. We are his creation. Still, there are things that God wants to give us and things that he wants us to pray for. In 1 John 3 and 1 John 5, we find out a little bit about the kinds of prayers that God answers. Now, we have some verses here that are favorite verses about prayer. But they're verses that we don't always use or understand correctly. Some of these verses about prayer, we kind of get wrong because of our selfish nature. And this gets me to an important thought about interpreting the Bible that is very true about how we interpret verses about prayer. It is possible to literally get the Bible wrong by reading some Bible verses literally. It's possible to literally get the Bible wrong by reading some Bible verses literally. Well, how can that be? Some of us have studied verses in detail and even done extensive word studies to get the exact meaning of a single word in a Bible verse. But that kind of myopic focus can cause us to forget one of the most important things to remember about biblical interpretation and understanding. One of the most important things to remember is the context is always important to the understanding and the meaning of Scripture. You must be careful about what surrounds a verse. Our favorite verses or phrases were not written in isolation. We have to read the whole verse, the whole chapter, the book, the testament, and even the whole Bible to truly understand any biblical phrase or verse completely. And that can change what we think a verse means by a lot. Now, gathering some of the context of our verses in 1 John on prayer, we can discover how a single phrase in a verse must not be taken out of its context. Now, here's a favorite verse on prayer. In the translation of the English Standard Version, which is similar to what we're used to reading in the King James Bible and most of its later editions, 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive for him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Now, you're probably all familiar with the first part of that phrase, especially. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Now, if you take that all by itself, you pull it out of its context, you put it on a plaque on your wall, and you focus on that without focusing on the context, without focusing on what surrounds us, without focusing on God's heart and who God is and what he wants us to do. We could literally get the meaning of it wrong, even though we look carefully at the literal interpretation of this verse. Now, all through my Christian life, I've heard that phrase used in isolation in order to encourage me to ask God for anything, and by asking it, I will get it. But then you partner that with 1 John 5:15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him, a promise of prayer. And so you have that pair of verses that are used, but sometimes misused out of their context by many Christians. Also used and misused in fiery and earnest sermons about prayer by way too many preachers who've gotten excited about the promises of prayer and have not studied the context or the setting of these verses. Or even the verse in Mark's gospel where Jesus is recorded as saying, "Therefore I tell you," Mark 11:24, "whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Well, a couple verses from the Gospel of John, John 11:22, "but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." John 14:13, "whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." John 16:23, "in that day you will ask nothing of me," Jesus says, "truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Well, those verses of prayer can get misused by pouring it into a teaching that goes something like this. If you want God to answer your prayers, no matter what it is, all you have to do is believe that you already received what you're asking God to do. No matter what you ask, no matter why you ask, no matter how you ask. Apparently, God is now required to be your sugar daddy and just give it to you. And that makes God beholden to our whims, not his purposes. Doesn't matter if you deserve it or met any requirements. Ask and God has to give it to you. Well, that's not participating with God in his creation. It is demanding that God create things for you because you want them. Who is God here? Who is God? I've had far too many immature drivers cut me off in traffic while they're driving $65,000 vehicles they got from their parents to believe that having God under my control is a good idea. So I'm pretty sure that's not what God thinks is a good idea either. We're going to look at the context of the prayer verses in 1 John 3 and 1 John 5. So as we're taking a look at the prayers that God answers and why he does, we do it according at least to the immediate context of 1 John. So prayers that God answers are prayers from those who do what pleases God. Prayer from those who do what pleases God. And for this, we'll go first to 1 John 3:21. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." This verse tells us that there are some conditions if we're going to ask and receive what God wants to give us. And so in verse 21, we have the teaching from John that says God is ready to answer the prayers that come from a clean heart. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. I would define that clean heart as one without guilt. It's the first condition for prayers to be answered as we look at the context of the promise of answered prayer. In verse 21, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. It speaks of that clean heart, not a selfish heart, not a sinful heart, but the heart of someone who knows they're saved, who knows they are forgiven of any and all recent sin, who have sought the forgiveness and the cleansing of heart that God wants to give to us. And of course, that's the purpose of what we've already seen in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. How we live our daily lives is important to God. We should examine ourselves as we pray so that we will have nothing hindering us from receiving what God wants to give us. Don't think you can fool God about your thoughts and your behavior. You don't get to decide if you have proper excuses for sin. Don't think that God just looks the other way because Jesus already died on the cross for your forgiveness. God has paid a high price for your forgiveness, for my forgiveness. The death of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Don't take that for granted. In our practice of living before God with a clean heart, we have to walk in the light that God gives us. And that means we walk in his light. The next condition for God's answers to be released to us is that the prayers of God that God answers are prayers from the obedient heart, or from those who keep his commands. That's the way it reads in 1 John 3:22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Well, there you go, prayers from the obedient heart. I don't want you to think that the commandments of God are unattainable or unreasonable. God has done everything he can to show us he loves us through his commands, and he calls us to love him. His commands are not unattainable or unreasonable. God really does not want us to just give up living for him